Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Pastor Shane Budby.
Good morning. Good morning. Excellent. Well, it's great to be here, to be worshipping the King.
Yeah.
King that's actually alive.
Amen.
It's great that we recognise the what's going on in our region at the moment with Richard of York. Might I add, being laid to rest in Leicester. But there we go. Said like a true Yorkshireman, I have resisted going and standing at the side of the parade saying, send King Richard home. But the argument is, from most people, that he's been in Leicester this long, so he should stay. So he's been in Leicester long enough. So maybe he should. But anyway. Matt's also said that he'll find the parade entertaining if a bunch of Yorkshiremen try to boycott and steal the body and take it back. So we'll see what happens. Just to say, I'm not planning on doing that. Wherever he's laid to rest is fine by me. But it's great that we've come together this morning to worship a king who did die but didn't stay dead.
That's right.
The work of the wondrous cross is alive. The work of the wondrous cross and the resurrection is at work in us today.
Yeah.
And available to every single one of us, wherever we are on that journey, whether you don't know Jesus yet, whether you've been walking with Jesus for years, whether you're new to faith, that revelation and that truth is the same, that Jesus is at work for you.
Oh, yeah.
And we've been going through this last month, the series More, and looking at our key scripture, which I'm going to start with. I'm going to read the Ephesians scripture from Ephesians 3. And I'm going to start with this, and then just going to pull the whole thing together, because this has all been based on this one scripture, Ephesians 3:20. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. And that's a great word, and I love that whole concept of that. We've got this God who is so amazing, who is so divine, who is so great, that in our human minds we can't dream up or think up anything that is greater than what he has got in store for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as we've worked through this, we've already looked at how God loves us more than we could ever know. That God has put more in you. If you are saved, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, then God has put more in you than we generally access. Last week, looking at there's more to God. And there is more to God than we ever take a hold of, and we ever get our heads around. Anybody who's watched Louis Giglio's How Great Is Our God sermon knows that when he starts to explain the immensity of the planets and the immensity of the universe and the complexity of the human body, we start to realise that this God we worship, the God who looks out for us, the God who provides for us, is an amazing God, and there's far more to God than our human minds, again, sometimes grasp a hold of. And today, I want to look at the fact that God has got more for you. God has got more for each and every single one of us. And as we do that, I'm going to be going to David to look at one of the points of David. It kind of disappoints me to have to use this scripture this morning, because I love David and I love the character of David. And David's a hero of mine, King David. And I usually like to use David and shed him in really good light. But I kind of have to use the bit where he didn't necessarily do things very well this time. No, it's all right.
Sure?
Yeah, it's fine. I thought, that freaks me out. I was watching Pompeii last night. When the mountain starts to erupt, everywhere starts shaking. So I was thinking, oh man. No, it's all right. It's just the kids jumping up and down. It's not. I don't think we've got any volcanoes in Boston. Not that I know of, anyway. No, it's like, whoa, what's going on? Has the parade of King Richard started already? Is that the marching of feet in the distance? And God has got more for us. But yeah, I want to go to straight away for where I want to head today. Is looking at the fact that God's got more for us. And so often we limit God. And we get to a place where we think, okay, that's enough now. God's done this. God's done that. I've already had this. I've already had that. And like it's some kind of thing where we get to a certain point and God has to stop. But God has got more for us. And by more, I don't mean God's not going to put any more in you. Yeah, we're refreshed and we're renewed all the time by His Spirit. But when you got saved and filled with His Spirit, it gave you the whole thing. There are things that, like Steve spoke about, that God's put more in you than you realise. There are things to unlock, but yet there is still more that God wants to release into our lives. I don't know about you, but I think of my life today and I don't want to just be where I am now. I know that God's got more to release into my lives. He's got better things to be releasing to me all the time. And God doesn't want me to stay where I am now. He doesn't want me to stay in the same place. He doesn't want me to stay in the same depth with Him. And so there's more than we know. And I want us to go to 2 Samuel. And, yeah. No, I bookmarked the wrong one. Sorry about that. Yeah. Don't worry about it. I'm going to just paraphrase for you. So basically, I'm going to go through the story. So we all know the story. Anybody who's aware of David and the story of David and Bathsheba, he goes out onto the balcony and he kind of sees Bathsheba bathing over the balconies and kind of sees this woman that he takes a liking to. And as the story continues, I'm not going to go into the full story. Obviously, we know he sleeps with Bathsheba and things start to spiral out of control, gets her husband killed, all kind of goes wrong. And eventually God sends the prophet Nathan to confront him and to bring God's word to him. And what God speaks to David amazed me when I first read it, really. And it amazed me when I heard what God had got to say to him, when he says that, "I gave you the crown of Israel, I made you the king of Israel. I gave you victory and protection against Saul. I gave you your master's house, I gave you everything. And if that had not been enough, I would have given you much, much more." And I think, wow, that's David. David's already been out fighting sheep and kind of becoming this warrior. He's slayed Goliath. He's been protected by God in all this time while Saul's trying to kill him. He's moved into a place of God taking a hold of him, making him king, making him what historically classed as the greatest king of Israel. And yet you think, wow, that's a lot of stuff. That's great. God has done a lot for David. And as we move into that, as we step into that kind of mentality, we start to limit God. And I just wonder, did David limit God? Did David get to a point where he thought, "God, you've done so much for me, but I'm going to take more"? But yet God turns around and says to him, if it had not been enough, if what I'd given you wasn't enough, I would have given you much, much more. I would have given you what you didn't have. I would have given you much, much more. And I love the heart of God there. Because God is saying, don't limit me. Don't limit what I can do for you. I have more for you. And we get caught up on the more. We get caught up on this. And sometimes we kind of find ourselves in a situation where we think, okay, maybe I've had everything. Maybe I've received everything that God's got for me and that's it. And when we get to that place, we kind of struggle to break through into a place of saying, God, I know you've got more. But what I'm here today to say is that God has got more. An infinite God that loves you more than you can imagine. An infinite God that has put more in you than you're accessing. An infinite God who is far greater than our human minds can make up has got more for you. And we can straight away make that jump now. And some of you have probably already done it. You've already made that click of, ooh, more things, more money, nicer car, bigger house, better phone. The more, and in our consumeristic mentality, as a consumer, we automatically make this jump to more, more stuff, more things. Great, God has got more. And not to say that God doesn't. You know, I was thinking about the story when, a story of when I first came here and how I knew God had spoken to me about coming here, but I had to say to God, okay, God, I know this is what you want me to do, but if I'm going to do it, and if I'm going to do it right, I'm going to need a car, a laptop, and a mobile phone. And within a few weeks of being here, I had a car, a laptop, and a mobile phone. Those who were around at that time know that the car lasted about 3 weeks before it ended up before it went in a ditch. It wasn't my fault or the yeah. In fact, Jamie is not here, he's upstairs. Jamie was in the car with me when it happened. But God was recognised and said, okay, I see that, and I see the obedience to answer to the call, so yeah, I'm going to release the more. And, you know, they weren't once, there were specific elements of God and said, this is what I need to do in my job, because I need to get around the different places, I need to be able to work on a computer, and a mobile phone is quite useful when you're doing that kind of job. So God knew, and he recognised, and he released that stuff. So in some ways you might say, well, that's a bit material. That's those, their items, their possessions. Is that what God's talking about? And what I don't want us to do is fall into a trap of becoming such a consumer that we start using God as a bit of a slot machine kind of thing. Like, if I do this, then God's going to release this. If I do that. And that's always the danger of looking at living that blessed life of getting too caught up in the more of God being in releasing more stuff into us and that, like, tipping the balance of prosperity teaching, which we see sometimes happens, that prosperity teaching can push us to a point where we start to treat God in a way that it was never intended to be treated. It's kind of like, okay, well, I want this. We kind of get out of a need mentality to a want mentality and go to God and say, okay, well, if God wants more for me, then I want all this stuff. Now, not to say that God doesn't do that. He's a loving Father who gives good gifts to all his children. And as he does that, it's amazing because... And we know, those of us who've got children, we want to give the best to our children. Yeah. We want our kids to have the things that we want them to have.
Yeah.
We have this tricky situation at the moment where I kind of want to get Elijah things that I know he'll like, but I'll really like as well. So we're having a debate in B&M Bargains a couple of weeks ago as to whether we got a Buzz Lightyear. And it's like, oh yeah, Elijah really likes Buzz Lightyear. It's like, well, he prefers Woody. Anybody who's familiar with Toy Story. So it's like, do we really want to get him a Buzz Lightyear? It's like, well, they haven't got a Woody, so let's get him a Buzz Lightyear. And it's like, who is this actually for? Is this for Elijah? Or is this for you? It's like, well, I'm sure I'll enjoy playing with him. Or is there all of a sudden just... given, I kind of have to get over some of these things, you know. And, it's a good job I'm not God, with reference to the more. We cleared out our attic last weekend, and at last, and I found my old Superman figure from when I was a child. And it was there in this box, and Sam's like, what have you got that for? I said, well, I just don't want to get rid of it. It's like, so is it for Elijah then? I'm like, no. That's my figure. That's my Superman figure. But I love him, and as soon as I gave him it, he's not really had it out of his hand since. So I was like, oh great, well, he's getting enjoyment now. I kind of cringe when he starts biting his head or something. It's like, but he is the Man of Steel, so it should be okay. So, and I love it because he's growing up well in superhero symbol recognition. So he was able to see my belt with the Superman symbol on and run and get the Superman figure and hold it next to it. So I was like, ooh, yeah. So that kind of... My boy is growing up in the ways of the Lord. That's a joke. But he's growing up. It's like, oh, I said to my mum, because my mum and dad are here, hello. He's really good at superhero symbol recognition. He can make that connection with these things. And so the reward for me in that is I let him have it, and I'm starting to see my son, well, Sam's words were brainwashed into superhero-like thinking. But it's a good thinking to have in my eyes. I'm not going to argue. But of course, I want more for my son as a loving father. I want him to have the things that he wants. And, you know, just to touch back on the story from week one of this series, I was talking about how I love him because I want him to have the stuff, but I love him enough to sometimes hold back what's not right for him as well. And those who were here or heard the story about me bringing him a chocolate pig back from Gloucester, where he was given a bit of the chocolate pig, but he wanted the whole thing. But I say, I love you, so I've bought the chocolate pig, but I love you enough to not let you make yourself sick by eating the whole thing. And God does that with us, but he does have that more. He does have the more in the way of, as he said to David, if it had not been enough, I'd have given you much, much more. And as he did that, you kind of see David starts to recognize and get a revelation through the Psalms, the stuff he writes. He recognizes and starts to see the heart of God as a God who has more for us. And there's also another scripture which really, in some ways, shows the nature of God, and it's in Joshua. If you've got your Bibles, you want to just have a quick look at that. It's in Joshua 15, and it's from 19, and this is talking about Asa, Caleb's daughter, who has got married, and her father has given her a field. And this is what happens, and I really love this. It says, Caleb asked her, "What's the matter?" She said, "Give me another gift. You have already given me land in the Negev. Now please give me springs of water too." So Caleb gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. And I just think that shows such a nature of God, in that she went and asked for a start. So she could have quite easily had the mentality of, "I can't really go and ask my dad for any more, because if I do, he's going to be like, well, you're a bit ungrateful, aren't you? I've already given you a field. What more do you want? What's the matter with you? I've given you a field, you know." How many of us are able to give our kids a field? So, well done. Here's a field. He gave her a field, but she went and asked and said, "I've got a field, but I want a water supply. Give me a spring." So it doesn't just give her the spring, it gives her the upper spring and the lower spring. And I love that, because that shows something of the nature of God at work in our lives today, that when we actually go to him and ask, God sometimes just obliterates everything that we think, and you think, whoa, I wasn't expecting to get all that. Yeah. But God's always got more. God is at work in our lives in such a way that when we ask, and that's the key, is the asking. You have not because you ask not, the word tells us. And when we don't ask, we don't receive. When we don't go to God and ask, the story of the blind man coming to Jesus, and they're shouting out, "Jesus, help us, Jesus, help us." And they're blind, so it's obvious what's wrong with them. But Jesus says, "How can I help you?"
Yeah.
And when you read that, you think, Jesus, come on, mate, you're the Son of God. Is it not a bit obvious? You know, you got for me, if a blind man came up to me and says, "Can you help me?" It's kind of like, okay, well, he's already opened blind eyes. He's already done this. They know Jesus has opened blind eyes. So it's probably pretty obvious why they're coming to the Messiah who opens blind eyes. It's probably obvious why he's coming to the miracle maker. But Jesus says, "What can I do for you? What would you like me to do? How can I help you?" Because there's power in the asking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When the guy said, "I want to be able to see," it activates something. And sometimes we kind of think that God just wants to not bless us and not see the release of the more of God. Or we just don't ask because we think, "I can't be cheeky." And I'm sometimes a bit cheeky with God, you know, because I know he's my loving heavenly father, and sometimes he wants me to be.
Yeah.
Sometimes he wants me to ask. I don't always get what I ask for, but sometimes it's kind of like, yeah, God, pray for this, pray for this. Oh, and while I'm at it, you know what? What about this as well? No, sometimes it happens, sometimes it works, sometimes I see the blessing of God come into my life. And some people are aware of the amazing thing that we saw happen just at the start of the church transition when I took the church on. And I've not got copyright permission from Sam to talk about this, but I will do anyway. We have a list which is basically our needs and wants that we take before God, and we'll say, okay, is that a need, is that a want? And we will write down and say, okay, God, we need this. This is not something this is not out of the overflow. This is something we need to function as a family. This is something we need to be able to do, such as things like MOT in the car, house insurance, all those kinds of things. These are needs, God. We need you to provide for this thing. But then we also have a wants section, and so we have some interesting discussions about what I need and what is a want. And they're like, well, is a holiday? A holiday is a real need for me right now. Well, is it real or is it a want? But in the wants list, and we, one of the mornings we were sat there, it was like, okay, let's pray. We recognise as a family, we want to go on holiday. God bless us to be able to go on holiday. And we put it on the list, we prayed about it and left it with God. And 2 hours later, we had somebody turn up on the door that same morning. 2 hours later, saying, "I'm really sorry to come and bother you, but a few months ago, I felt God speak to me to say, we need to bless you with a holiday." And at that time, I didn't respond but I kind of know I need to, so here you go, I hope it's enough. I was like, okay, you've got no idea. And as that happened, then the finance that was given for the holiday, we were then able to find the exact thing we were looking for £1 less than what the person had given us. And then we got upgraded because of some changing around as well. So,
wow.
And sometimes when we ask, God does want to do it. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of like amazed as I was going on this journey with God, where I wasn't even, it got to the point where I was asking for the stuff. And sometimes it was just like, okay, God, I know there's more. And I know that you're always going to provide our needs. Who knows that God provides their needs? Who sees all the time God providing their needs in every single way that you kind of get into that, you know, that nip and tuck time, and it's like, oh man, like, I don't know, you get into the end of the month and you kind of, your salary's nearly going, and then you get your eye prescription and say you need to wear glasses. You're like, okay, well, that's going to cost me money. So, okay, God. But it's like, how did that happen? And I love it sometimes when you're in that situation, you look at the account and you kind of say, how is that there? What's going on? Mm-hmm. But God provides our needs. When we are walking with God, when we are in the will of God, we will never be out of the will of God. Yeah. For us as a family, we knew that it was right, and what God had spoken to us as a family, which was right for us as a family, and I'm not necessarily saying this is the same for everybody, but for us it was, okay, God, we know that Sam is supposed to stay at home with Elijah. She's not going to go back to teach. She's not going back into teaching. Probably won't go back into teaching at all, to be honest, but she's not supposed to do it. But how does that work? How do you all of a sudden have one extra person come into your family and lose a teacher's wage, which we all know is a pretty decent wage? And it's like, well, okay, God, we trust you in this. We trust that this is going to work. We trust that this is what you've said. And as we do that, we'll never be in need. And sometimes you'll even produce our wants because you've got more for us. Yeah. We are never in need as a family. Uh-huh. Praise God for that.
Yeah.
Because I know that had Sam have made the decision against God to go back to work, we'd have probably been in more need than we are now.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that we'd have had more finance coming in, but the needs would have been greater.
Yeah.
Because God is a God of the more. And when we're walking in where God wants us to be, God is able to do exactly what he wants to do. Mm. And sometimes he's kind of just waiting, saying, just that way a bit, just that way a bit.
Yeah.
Okay, now you're on track. Now I can release what I've got for you. Now I can do the stuff. And when we're in the will of God, we all know those who walk in the will of God, God releases what is needed.
Yeah.
We are never in want. We're never in lack. Yes, we don't have a overspill to the point that we're living a flamboyant life, but we have a content and fulfilled and amazing life.
Yeah.
And I love my family and I love what we have. And what we have is great, and it's amazing because we recognise the more of God comes in. We don't always, you know, we can't always go and just buy a Buzz Lightyear when you want to. Even though your daddy wants to get it, it's kind of like, but you know, it's just that kind of mentality of thinking, oh well, I've got to give God something to work with here, so I can't just be going off flashing the cash around and thinking, well, you know, God's providing for me. And I'm like, oh, is he? Okay, find yourself a bit out of pocket. But God has got that more. And as we saw, Caleb's daughter went and asked, she not only got what she asked for, but she did receive more out of the overspill, out of the overflow. God released to her what, well, not God, but Caleb in the story. But more was given to her because she asked.
Yeah.
More was released into her life because she asked. And as we start to ask and recognise, God, I know there's more for me, and I know you've got more for that. So I kind of touched a little bit on the material side of things there. You know, we live blessed when we're walking in the will of God. We live blessed, and we had that series 6 months ago now about hashtag blessed and how God is that supernatural force working in our favour and working for us. But as I say, we get caught up on the supernatural release of God for that, the material stuff. But what about the stuff of life? What about seeing God release into us relationships in such a way that they're relationships that transform our lives? God, I need this kind of person to come into my life. I'm praying for this person to come into my life. And God releases that because there's more. God's got more meaningful relationships for every single one of us to step into. God's got more satisfaction for each and every single one of us as we operate in his kingdom. God has got more of a deeper relationship with himself to release to us. These are all things that God's looking at and saying, okay, you kind of get stuck on the more of a material release. I'm kind of thinking more about you getting a better relationship with that person, you getting a better relationship with me, you starting to see yourself fruitful in your life and your ministry and what you're doing, because God wants to release the more of that into every single one of us. Who doesn't want to go deeper in their relationship with God? Who doesn't want to be more in tune with the things of God? Who doesn't want to have more time with God without falling to sleep? I'm not the only one, am I? You know, sometimes it's you get perked up for having a great time with God and you fall to sleep. Mike reminded me once that I did that when we were living there. I was trying hard to get up and in God's will and meet with him, but found me asleep downstairs. It's kind of like, you know, every time at Rothy it was a nightmare. You know, I'd probably get done by Kingdom Faith for this one, but the amount of times you'd walk through the worship hall at 5:30 in the morning to the snoring chorus. With like enthusiastic students, particularly the first 2 weeks. I'm at Bible college now. I'm going to get up at 5 every morning. I'm going to spend the first few hours of my day with God, because that's what we've been told to do. And then it kind of... Even in like cupboards and stuff, you could hear noises coming from everywhere. It's like, is that something in the J24/7 office? Yeah, there's a student in there. Is that something there? It's like, but God wants more for us. He doesn't want us to be tired when we meet with him. You know, and whenever you find meets with you, I kind of found that having a long stretching period of time with God in the morning just didn't work for me. You know, I'm just not that kind of person. Like, God, I'm going to do it here. I set the time aside, but first thing on the morning is my shorter time with God, is my, okay, God, let's get together, let's sort the day, and we'll have that extended time elsewhere. Some people are great at getting up in the morning. It's just like, boom, Elijah's a morning person. It's kind of like, eyes are awake, boom, wake up, everybody's got to be up. It's kind of like, no, please go back to sleep. And every day you kind of look at the clock and it's getting to that time, you're thinking, maybe today he'll sleep a bit longer. But it's not. Next thing you know, the quilt's getting pulled back off you, or you're getting something stuck in your, shoved in your face or whatever. It's kind of like, he's a morning person, he's like, spring, I'm just like, oh, please, go back to sleep, please. But God wants more for us, and sometimes it's a tactic of the enemy as well. The devil likes to make us feel weary and tired. Mm-hmm. When we're at a specific point of being tired, when we kind of find ourselves tired, this is more not so much that you've, like, you know, don't start giving credit to the devil where credit's not there, as in like you've worked really hard and you've had a hard day, so when you start to pray you are genuinely tired. But I'm talking about those times which you may have experienced, which I know I have, where you actually feel really refreshed and vibrant, and the moment you start to pray you want your eyes to close and you want to go to sleep, and you're thinking, there's something not right here, because I was perfectly fine before I started to pray. Something's trying to rob me of this time with God. Something is trying to cause me not to do this. Something's trying to cause me to go into the land of nod and miss out on that time. And it's recognizing those things, because God would never do that. God is always beckoning us back, and God is always wanting us to have more time with him, more relationship with him, and more relationship with other people. I was really... some people may have heard the story that Colin Urquhart tells, which he was talking about the leaders' conference, where how God is hungering to be with us in such a way. And when they were living in the revival in Luton, he used to, at the end of the day, he used to take the dog a walk, and then he'd go and lock up the church at the end of the night, and that was his time to just go and sit in the church with nobody else there and have some time with God. And one of the nights he was just so tired, it had been a long day, and he just popped his head in the door and just said, okay, God, I just can't do it tonight. I want to go to bed. And God just called him back by his spirit and said, Colin, don't not come in here, because if you don't, I will miss you. And it was like, wow, that's profound. That God will miss me. If I don't spend the time with him, you think, well, God's got all those people to spend time with, but God loves us in such a way that he misses you when you don't have that time with him. The body of Christ, the church as a whole, misses you when you're not functioning where you're supposed to be.
That's good.
And we sometimes forget that. We sometimes forget that in the more of God, we kind of always go to God, but it's all about us, isn't it? And actually sometimes when we go to God, it's a bit about Him as well.
It's good.
He's beckoning us.
Yes.
He's drawing nearer to us and saying, I've got more for you.
Yeah.
Don't miss out on this. If you don't come and see me, I'm going to miss you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, whoa, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
God's going to miss me if I don't spend time with Him. The Almighty, the Creator, the one who flung stars into space, the one who put the complexities of the human body together is going to miss me. And because He's got more. There is more to be released into our lives. There is more of God to be released. And sometimes we find ourselves in a situation where we want to access the more of God, but we get onto a threshold and think there is no more. I get to this point every single time and I can't break through beyond that point. I can't break into the new realm. I can't break into the new dimension. I can't break into what God's got for me. And sometimes we just need to push through. We need to really break and recognise, okay, God, I need to break through here. I need to take a hold of the more of God. I need to reach for the more of God and take a hold of what You've got for me. But sometimes, and this is very rare, but sometimes we maybe need to go back a few steps to recognise why we can't go forward. Recognising, is there something here that I've not dealt with that's stopping me from going there? And we kind of, I'm not a looking back kind of person. And I'm a forward thinker, I'm a forward looker. It's kind of like, you know, where we're going, bang, let's go. And I don't tend to like to look back very often, but I can recognise a point in my own life where dealing with the disappointment of not being able to enter into the career that I wanted to kind of stuck with me more than I'd realised for a long time. And it was there all the time. And it took a long, long time for me to recognise that I'd get so far in my call, I'd get so far with what God had got for me, and I'd get right on the threshold and I'd think, this time I'm going in, this time I'm going in, and that something would stop me from going there. Something wouldn't let me get beyond that next point. And it wasn't until I kind of started to pray and recognise and realise that I'd got something back here which I'd not dealt with. I've got something that I'm not being set free and delivered from. And don't get me wrong, when we're saved, we are free and we are delivered. But there's sometimes some things we need to deal with a bit more. So I've got some stuff back here that I had to recognise, okay, God, let's deal with this. Let's get over this disappointment. Let's get over this, because I want to step into the more of God, and I don't want stuff that's happened back here stopping me from stepping into what God's got for me down there. And that was a journey and a process. But sometimes these things are not just a, okay, God, I'm making the decision and that's it. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not going to be disappointed anymore. I'm not going to get dragged back by my past anymore. Sometimes, for some people, that's great, isn't it? When it's that easy. Sometimes it's a bit more of a journey and a process. Say, God, whatever it takes, I want to step into the more that You've got for me. And I'm willing to take this journey and go through whatever it takes to be able to get beyond it. And, you know, for me, it was a strange journey. There was kind of things that used to come up. I'd see stuff on telly and it'd be like, oh man, I'm so disappointed. Why do they get to do that and I don't? Why do they get to do that and I don't? Or, oh man, I was a better player than he was when we used to play together. How come he's now playing for England and I'm not? And all these things used to come up, and that was a clear indicator to me. You've not dealt with something here. If you've still got resentment about what you're not doing, rather than celebrating in what you are doing, then you are holding back what God's got for you. You're being held back. And I often think of it as those games, which none of you know of, because you're all very righteous, where you have a bungee cord tied to you and a pint in your hand. And you have to try and run down as far as you can with the pint in your hand, and eventually it pulls you back. And if you get pulled back and you've got a full pint in your hand still, you win. But you're all very righteous and holy, so none of you are aware of those kind of games, are you? None of you have done the whole Magaluf 1996 or anything like that. You know, some of you have just been, somebody's like, oh man, yeah, that's my past, and I'm convicted. No, don't worry about it, I'm just joking. But sometimes we get so far, and it's like, bang! Okay, God, I want to push through. And we're pulled back that little bit more, and we can't break through. And God's saying, I've got the more for you, But just deal with it. Deal with what I've got for you. And it's this whole concept of, like, with the Israelites, of how they were saved out of Egypt, but God then had to get Egypt out of them. There's still some stuff that God needs to get out of us, which we're holding on to or we're not dealing with. And so our relationship with God is key in dealing with that, because God's got more for us. He's saying, come this way, step into it, deal with those things and step into what I've got for you. And, you know, some of us, we might be in that place right now. We might be certain things that we're just walking through. We're just working through. It's like, I'm kind of coming to the end of this. I'm kind of getting through this. I'm not quite there yet, but I can see light at the end of the tunnel. If you can't see light at the end of the tunnel, turn around, because you walked into a cave. Yes. Okay? I can see the light, and you're kind of breaking through into it. But you know, you've got to take that little bit more of a journey to step into the more of God by dealing with what was in the past. And we don't go looking into the past by weird ways. It's literally just a matter of, I can see this is still affecting me. If I've got stuff in my past that's still affecting me, and it's holding me back from what God's got, then I need to change something. Yeah. I need to make a difference in that. And we can't go back and change the past, we all know that. But God's able to break chains and break us free from things that we're not able to do. God's not confined by time. And as we step into those things, God's able to release the more of God. As we ask for those things, God, I want to be deeper with you. Okay, we'll deal with this then. Let's deal with it together. And I love that. It's always a together with God, isn't it? It's never a, okay, come and see me when you've dealt with that. Mm-hmm. It's always a, let's walk through this together. Let's deal with this together. Let's nail this once and for all. Let's get over this once and for all. And I love you as your Father, and I want you to break through. Yeah. And I love you so much that it's not just going to be us walking this journey. I'm going to put these amazing people at the side of you to do it as well. Because man wasn't made to live alone.
Right.
It's not good for man to be alone. And there's more to that statement, I often say, than just about Adam getting a wife, but about every single one of us living in a closeness and getting to a place where we're able to step in to what God's got for us. And as we do that, as we move into what God's got, we're able to step through into that new place with other people alongside us, with God cheering us on, with God breaking us through. And as we do that, as we break in to what God's got, we start to see the more of God released. Yeah. And we've all probably been there at different stages. We've all broken into places and seen the more of God. But then as we get further and further along, we start to realise, I know there's more. And we sometimes realise the deeper we get with God, the more things that we didn't even realise were there. We start to think, okay, I've got to deal with this. I've got to get this sorted. I've got to break through from this. And it's eventually getting ourselves to that place where, and this is a bit of a paradox really, with regards to the more of God, where you are content, but you're not so content that you don't ask God for more. And that's a bit of a paradox, isn't it? It's like, well, if you're content, you shouldn't be asking for more. If you're a content person, you've got everything you need. Well, yes, I have, and I am content. Yeah. And the difference is, okay, well, I'm content with what God has given me now. If God wasn't to release anything else into my life right now, I would be content. But I know that that's not all that God's got.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be content, and if God doesn't release any more, I'm content. Yeah. But I know God wants to release more. And that's a funny thing, isn't it? It's like, oh, that's different. If you're content, you shouldn't need any more. It's like, well, I am content, but I know God's got more for me.
Yeah.
And it's this strange paradox of living in a content way of, okay, God, today, if nothing changes, I am content. But I know you want to change more in my life. I know you want to draw me closer to yourself. I know you want my relationships with other people to be stronger. I know you've got more fruitfulness and fulfillment in my life to be released. I know you've got all these things, so I'm going to be content and live like this is how I'm going to live for the rest of my life. But I'm also going to be ready to up and change as soon as you say that it's time to up and change and do what it is that you've got for me. And that is an amazing way to live, because, you know, I know the ladies in the resolution were looking about the content and embracing your current season of life.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have to embrace that current season of life. Our current seasons of life change all the time, don't they? And particularly when you have a family, those seasons of life seem to change rapidly. You know, one minute, yeah, you've got a baby who's just laid on the floor. The next minute, they're able to climb on the chairs and everything else, and they're into everything. Or eventually the point comes where they're faster than you, and they're off. So Elijah kind of got excited and ran off a little bit at Woodlands yesterday. His granddad couldn't catch him. few years ago you would have done, wouldn't you, Dad? I remember at the same time, we were having a laugh, weren't we, me and Steve, about Josh, because he was a bit of a runner, wasn't he, when he found his legs. And I remember once doing one of the Walk of Witnesses up on Little Mill Close, and they just saw this little red dot, because he was in a Liverpool kit. It was like a shot, boom, and I think it was Faye, and you were trying to catch him, and it was like, he's gone. Shoom, like lightning. And that current season of life, it's like, okay, well, this season of life, the baby's just laid there, and it's all about doing this. This season of life is, I need to be a bit on the ball. I've got to be ready to, and be off. And for each and every single one of us, our seasons of life are rapidly changing all the time. Different things happen. One word somebody speaks changes our season of life. How amazing is that? One person can say one thing that changes your season of life just like that. Changes your perspective, changes the way you think, changes the way you are. I was really blessed at the leaders' conference this week, and talking about how God's got the more for you was, I had about a 3-minute conversation with Pastor Colin Urquhart. Those who are not aware of him, is our apostolic covering and the Kingdom Faith apostle. I had a 3-minute conversation with him, and I came away from that conversation so built up and so encouraged. I felt like I'd spent the day with him. It was like, whoa. And it just kind of like, he just knew the right things to say, just encouraging me about taking on the church, encouraging me about the stage of life I'm in, encouraging me about the job that I'm doing here. And it was like, wow. It was just like, boom, boom, boom. And it just like, I think he said about like 4 statements, and all 4 of them are like, there's so much weight behind them. I was just like, whoa, I feel really encouraged. That's Pastor Colin. He's just encouraged me. Doing good. I'm like, wow. Praise God. And but it did, there was so much weight behind it, I felt like I'd spent a day with him. And that's how God sometimes works. We sometimes think, okay, for the more of God, I've got to do this. But when it gets to the more of God, it's a little bit like, well, actually, just this is more than enough to impact and change your life in such a way that you go from just having a field to having a field and the upper springs and the lower springs and everything else that God's got for you. As we step into that, God releases it. And God does it in ways that we sometimes don't recognise. And sometimes God just pops up and things happen. You're like, well, where did that come from? Like, I don't know, turning up one Wednesday morning and I found a brand new iPhone on my desk. Like, there you go. Be hashtag blessed. I was like, whoa, flipping heck. Praise God. You know, that doesn't happen. I was a bit freaked out at first. It was a little package on my desk. Bless him, Steve, my armour bearer, offered to open it for me. Would you like me to open it for you, mate? I was like, no, I think I'll be all right. I was like, do you really think that do people dislike me that much they would put a bomb on my desk? I think I'd only been pastoring the church about a month at that point, so it was a bit touch and go. But man, they're not giving me much time. But it wasn't a bomb. It was an iPhone. And it was like, whoa, where did that come from? And God kind of knows our needs.
Yeah.
And he recognises that even in our mistakes, he still releases something afresh. Because I'd only had a new iPhone in a few months, but I'd got one. I'm going to get all techie now. I'd got a phone which was like, the storage on it wasn't big enough. And so I'd got this new phone, which was great. And it was like, this is phone rubbish. And I started to lose my faith in Apple at that point. It's like, this phone's rubbish. It can't do anything. I can't download the new software on it. Every time I take a photograph, it tells me my memory's full. And I was like, but I'm stuck with it now for 24 months on this contract. So I'm going to have to get used to it. And then I think I'd got something like an 8-gig phone, for those who understand. That's not a great deal of memory these days. And then so God released this exact same phone, same colour, but with 30-odd gig of storage. So I'm kind of like, great. Praise God. And that's the material stuff, isn't it? But that's sometimes a heavenly Father that loves us in such a way that the overspill and the overflow comes, that he doesn't leave bombs on our desk. He leaves iPhones on our desk. But that's not the fullness of it. Because I'd be willing to trade any material item for the kinds of things that God really wants. The deeper relationship with Him that brings a fulfillment. The deeper relationship with other people that brings fulfillment. Walking in my call to such a way that I feel fulfilled and I'm seeing fruit released in my life daily. And you know, we all need encouragement with that sometimes, don't we? To think, okay, nothing's happening. Okay, and God does sometimes send someone like Pastor Collins just come alongside you for 3 minutes and speak a few words that picks you up and you think, yeah, actually, praise God. Praise God for our relationship with Kingdom Faith. Praise God for the privilege of being able to go there and have 3 minutes with someone who's been in ministry, goodness knows how many years, wrote how many books, recognised moves of God across the whole world, and now God's speaking to him in an amazing new way. Praise God for that relationship. Praise God for the ability to go and do that. Praise God for people that can come alongside you and speak right words, speak four comments in 3 minutes and build you up in a way that you've spent the day from. Praise God for relationships that have got people that are willing to open a bomb for you. I'm not sure how to work because we were stood right next to you, but the heart was there. So, and then I had a strange letter come through then. About 2 days later, it was like, it all looked a bit strange, like a bit damaged and weird. So bless her, Charlene had obviously followed suit because she said, there's a strange letter here, would you like me to open it for you? I was like, no, I think it'll be all right. I don't think it's got anthrax in it. You know, I watch too much stuff. Yeah. But when we've got those kinds of relationships around us, we feel like we can accomplish anything. Because we're living in the more of God. We're living in those more relationships. We're living in that deeper, more relationship with God. We're living in a point where we say, God, I'm content. I'm really pleased with what you're doing in my life at the moment. But I know you've got more for me, so I'm not just going to not ask. I'm not going to do a David and kind of just do something out of my own strength. And in some ways, that's why I kind of like, you know, you've got Asa and you've got David, and hence in why David's kind of shedding a bit of a bad light this time, where he kind of just did it and just took it. Yeah. And God's like, if it wasn't enough, I'd have given you more. Whereas Asa had the right idea, didn't she? Just like, I'm just going to go and ask. It's going to be a bit cheeky. And sometimes do that. I just do it sometimes with like salesmen and things, like, doesn't always work. Like, oh, thanks for setting me up a really good deal with my Sky. You don't fancy throwing Sky Sports in there for free, dear, as well. Like, oh no, sorry, we can't do that. Oh well. You can sometimes, you just gotta ask. Whether it's asking God, whether it's asking in situations, you know, oh, what are you doing with that? A bit like when we've got the chairs from over at the Building Society. What is happening with those chairs? Do you fancy giving them to the church? Yeah, of course you can. Thank you very much. Sometimes you just got to ask. Yeah. You have not because you ask not. There's more of God in every single way for you to ask for those things. For you to say, God, I need some of these people to be around me. I need to be able to have that kind of conversation with somebody that boosts me up. I need to have the kind of relationship where somebody would be willing to open a bomb for me. I need the kind of relationship where these things are happening all the time and I'm living fulfilled and fruitful because of how I'm doing it. And Asa went and asked and got what she asked for. David just kind of at that point took things a little bit into his own hands, had a little bit of a blip, and God had to just come and say, I just think how much David had felt when he heard that word. If it had not been enough, I'd have given you more. And sometimes we do that and we take a hold of things and we look and think, okay, well, even small things such as, okay, well, I need to pay this and I know God's going to provide. And you're there, you're praying, aren't you? God, I know you're going to provide. Please release the money, I know you're going to do it. And then in the next minute, you're on Wonga.com and you're taking a loan out. It's like, okay, God. Well, I know you were going to provide, and I kind of figured that you're doing it that way. No, I can't ever imagine God doing that. Okay, I've provided for you, now take out a loan and have to pay back however much money on it. Sometimes you get that point, God, I just trust that you're going to release. God, I know there's more. And I know this is not a necessity. This is not a want in my life. This is something I need. I need that finance to be able to pay that. Maybe it's that, you know, finance has accumulated because of silly decisions and silly things that you've done. But God is God can forgive that. Say, God, I'm sorry. I know I did a stupid thing. I was silly. I did the wrong thing. Forgive me for my mistakes. Please help me get back on track. Perhaps it's in a situation where, God, I know I need people alongside me. I know I need somebody or some people to be with me on this journey. God, send the right people into my life. God, show me the right people that I need to go and speak to. Give me the courage to go up and say hello to that person. Give me the courage to go and say, how you doing, Pastor Colin? I find it really funny. Some people find it like really weird that you'd go and speak to him. It's like, it's Pastor Colin. He loves people. Go and speak to him. And as we do that, as we step into those things, God wants to release that more. Because there's more for each and every single one of us. Don't get so content that you just don't bother asking anymore. Because that contentment will eventually become frustration. And will become something that starts to eat away. And generally, when you get frustrated, that's when you jump into your own box and start doing things your own way. Frustration and faith are two different things. Don't be frustrated. Step into a place of faith and recognise, God, now's the time for me to step into this. Now I need to move in what you've got for me. Now I need to take a hold of those things. Because I don't want to be a David and just take a hold of it in my own strength. I want to be like Asa and I want to go and ask. Yeah. You have not because you ask not. Mm-hmm. And God is saying, just ask. Mm-hmm. It might not always look how you want it to look. You might not always get what you think you're going to get. But God releases. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, you get what you need. Yeah, Rolling Stones. It's not scripture. So we're like nodding on like, yeah, amen. Scripture. It's no more scriptural than let your conscience be your guide. It's not a scripture either. It's from Pinocchio. It is, seriously. It is. Jeff Lucas tells a story that someone ministered to him. We all know Jeff Lucas, the minister. Somebody ministered to him and said, Jeff, just, you know, I'm getting the word. Just the scripture, I don't know where it is, but let your conscience be your guide. And he kind of went away and struggled. It was like, I'm not even sure, that can't be scriptural. And he was like, you know, it was Jiminy Cricket's advice to Pinocchio in the Disney film. It was like, don't let your conscience be your guide. It's not even in there. But sometimes, you know, we get caught up on these things, don't we? We kind of think these statements are scripture. It's like, no, it's not. I just heard it somewhere. But it's so funny. Like, let your conscience be your guide. I'm quoting scripture that's not even there. It's like so funny. But as we take a hold of those things, I'm kind of stuck on that now. Get beyond it. There's more. There is more. And this morning, we've got a bit more time and we can just come before God. And what I want us to do is, as we worship, just take some time to recognise, God, I've not asked for this. I've kind of been expecting you to just do something, but I've never actually asked. Maybe you're in that camp, maybe you're in a place of, okay, I'm just kind of waiting for God, but I've never really been specific with God about what I need to see happen in my life. I've never been as specific of saying, I can't get free of this, so God, please send somebody into my life. Show me that person, because I can't, the God I know doesn't always, is not always... He kind of wants you to take a step, so he's not going to send the person to speak to you. He's generally going to identify the person to you and say, now go and speak to them. And that's sometimes how these things work. So be ready for God to release to you and say, okay, you need to go and speak to that person and just say, can we get together for a coffee? Like, in a that way, not like asking people out on dates and stuff. Like literally saying, can we have a drink together? Can we get together and do this and have a chat about stuff? Because sometimes those are the times when it's just like you're just chatting and this stuff comes out and you never know, you broke free from something and you're like, whoa, okay, it's as simple as that. It might be that God identifies somebody that says, okay, I want this person to come alongside you because this is going to be a bit of a journey for you and you need somebody that understands that to be able to walk through that journey with you and help you break through from what you've got. Perhaps you're here and you're just thinking, God, I just need provision. I'm not talking about wants, I'm not talking about material things, but I literally, God, I just need your provision. I need you to release to me this thing so that I can do what I know you're saying. And because God will always release. God will never ask us to do something without giving it, and sometimes we have to recognise, don't we, okay, God, is this really you? Because the resource isn't there to do it, so is this really you? And sometimes you just know, don't you? God, regardless, I've got to go for this, and I know you're going to do it. Perhaps you're here and you're just thinking, God, I really want more of you, as in a relationship-wise. I know I can't attain any more power, or I can't attain any more Holy Spirit from you, but God, I want more of a deeper relationship with you. Then ask God, God, help me by your Spirit to spend more time with you, to go deeper with you, because I don't want to fall asleep when I'm spending time with you. I want it to be a vibrant, full-on time with you. Show me when's a good time, God. What's the best time of day for me to spend time with you? Yeah. You know me better than anybody. When should I spend time with you? Because I fall asleep on a morning and I fall asleep on a night. So when am I going to... Where do I fit that? Where's my time with you? How do I deepen that relationship with you? Because I know you've got more for it. And perhaps there's something that, you know, as I was talking, when I was talking about the stuff in my past that I had to deal with to be able to get going forward, perhaps this morning you're here and you're thinking, yeah, I know there's stuff in my past that I've not dealt with that's stopping me moving into the more of God now. I've come this far, and now that is hindering me going any further into the things of God, and I really need to see deliverance and freedom come in my life to enable me to go to that next level and the next stage. Let's take some time to worship, if we can have the band. And during that time, you do business with God one-to-one. And I'm not going to pray with people this morning up front. I just feel this is something that you need to let God speak to you about the more in your life. You need to let God speak to you in such a way that when God moves, and this is something about you personally, and He can show you some, He can show you that how that's going to work. He can show you the people, and I'm just trusting that now, as we worship, God's going to move. We don't need long. God doesn't need long to move.
That's good.
Like I said, you know, 3-minute chat with Pastor Colin felt like a day, in a really good way. So to be able to spend a few minutes with God is eternity for some people. So just let's stand up and worship God and take some time to pray with Him, to ask God, to say, God, I know there's more of you.